Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Welcome, Pastor Dele Olubi, as he brings us to worship us this evening. Let's appreciate the grace of God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, it's easier to say you are pastor, but when people start calling you a prophet, you should check yourself. Anyways, it's because every church around, even if they are not more than five there, they have a pastor, don't they? But I think it's more than that. I want to thank the Lord for this meeting. It's been a very great time. Can we appreciate the Lord and thank him? It's been a great time. I've learned so much. So there are meetings that just open up certain sides of scripture to you. I thank God that God gave us grace to gather. And I thank Pastor and Mommy for giving us the support. If they say no youth convention, no youth convention. Hallelujah. A lot of effort has gone into this. I want to appreciate everybody that has, you know, contributed one thing or the other into this meeting. I know your labor is not forgotten. In the name of Jesus. And the impact that this meeting is supposed to leave on all of us, we will not escape it in Jesus' name. Pastor, you have said so many things. I told Father, I don't have many things to say. Edom is not my area of specialty. Praise God. Maybe I'll just talk a little and then we'll pray. Okay. No. Of course. We can share from the things we have been sharing before. Hallelujah. But as God, anything God wants us to see, we will see. Amen. Father, we thank you for this evening. I trust you, Lord, that you will switch something on our inside. I trust you, Father, that something will move, something will shift. I trust you that somebody will move 1 inch closer to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. Use my tongue, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want us to go back to that. Let's speak it from Obadiah again. Obadiah, I think we should start from... Let us start it from 15. Okay, before 15, let us... Okay, beginning from that chapter, God began to declare the punishment of Edom. Before we read, let me just say some things. God began to declare, and I think Obadiah was actually raised as, because this is the only record we have about that man. I don't know whether he was mentioned anywhere in the prophets. But this is a major work we saw God used Obadiah to do, and there's one thing he did. God used him to judge Edom. So there are times when these prophets come up and then they raise up their voices and then they begin to speak over nations. And a whole chapter of the scripture was given to these people. I think we should, not just a chapter, a whole book of the Bible. Praise God. I will give you this one chapter. It's a book. And this is this man's contribution in eternity. If we get to wherever in eternity and they talk about Obadiah, this is his contribution to the gospel. I hope you know it is also gospel. Because if we don't dig into these things, you will not know how these things relate to us. You wonder, is it history? Is it beyond history? But those are the things that God is helping us to unravel this weekend. And the man came up and began to speak against Edom. Edom has a history with Israel. Their father is Esau. Alright? We have heard about that this morning. And Pastor Yosan, some of those things Pastor has said, I will just pick some of those things and talk about them. We found out that he was brother to Jacob. And when they were going to be born, Jacob held he came first. He came first. Jacob held to his heel and they came out. And because of that, both of them were named based on circumstances. Esau came out red. So they called him Red. Praise God. Jacob came out holding his brother's leg. They called him Supplanter. And funny enough, when Esau was going to lose his birthright, he lost his birthright by Red too. Because if you go and read it, the word porridge did not exist in that place. Hallelujah. So it was actually Red. You will call it Red Portage. But if you read, the word portage is in italics. It was never there. So he lost his birthright by Red. Red Portage. And then we saw that both of them had that, you know, Jacob came, was it I stole the birthright? We have said we should stop accusing him. Somebody sold it already. He bought it. It's just that the day the transaction happened, okay, he had paid. But the day he got the product was not that day. Exactly. He got the product, it was postponed. Praise God. Prepaid. He paid and got it later. And then the brother was angry. And that enmity continued. Because we need to know who Edom is. As a matter of fact, if we are talking about Israel's arch enemy, it's not Assyria, it's not Egypt, it is Edom. Because they started together. Hallelujah. I don't know if they're identical, but if they were identical, but I doubt they are. But if they were, it means both of them broke from the same, at least what the science teaches us, the identical twins, where did they come from? The same fertilized egg splits into two. So if they were identical, that would have been the case. They started from the same source. They were together when they were being formed. Even heaven knows so much that at some point God told them, he said, don't be hostile to Edom, to any Edomite. I think that is in Deuteronomy 23, verse 7. Can we see? He said, don't be hostile to them. You know, if these guys were, if we're supposed to treat this in traditional Christianity, this one is, they will call it Ogunala Jobi. You get that kind of thing. Hallelujah. Very difficult to deal with. 23:7. Say, thou shalt not have an Edomite, for he is thy brother. This was after the Edomites did not allow Israel to pass their land. They had stopped them. They did not allow Israel. You know, Moses tried to allow, just let us go through your land. Whatever we eat, we'll pay. If we drink your water, whatever, we'll make sure we pay. They told them, you cannot go through this place. So God came and said, an Egyptian, you know, Moabites and Ammonites, they said those ones can't even come. Those ones should not even come close. For Egyptians, they also said, don't taboo an Egyptian because that was a what? But if you go down, you discover that only about three generations of Egyptians were allowed to join them. Those that followed them out, hallelujah, were allowed to join them. Not just any Egyptian. But there was this particular one. They said, don't abhor him because he is your brother. Even God recognizes. I don't know what represents this to us. Because if you are talking about saviors coming, by the time God was going to talk about Savior's coming, They ended that talk on Edom. They didn't end it on Egypt or even Babylon that took them away, or Persia or something. They ended that thing on the Edomites. It means that those guys meant so much. And God recognized it. And as a matter of fact, hope you know that these guys are even circumcised. Sure, you know Esau. Esau was not uncircumcised. Let's see, Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 32, verse 29. Of course, even without this, it's logical. It was Ishmael that broke away and was not circumcised. So, from Abraham, he came to Isaac. Isaac, and I know Jacob must have circumcised his boys. So, and look, thou art unto them a very lovely 32. I said 32, verse 29. There is Edom, her kings and all her princes, which with their might are laid by them that were slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised. Hallelujah. If they were all uncircumcised, then I don't think they should put this. He said even Edom will lie with the uncircumcised. So I don't know how they escaped the covenant, but God knows how he did that separation. But somewhere, somehow, he said they shall lie with the uncircumcised and with them that go down to the pits. That was what they meant. Their fate is sealed. But the problem is they are almost unnoticeable. And that was what Pastor was saying in the morning, and I would just like us to pray. Whatever represents this to you, that God will cause his separation. How did Pastor put it in the morning? He said they are, you can accommodate them. They are things, they are people, they are circumstances you can accommodate. I got something interesting, a commentary very interesting about Esau. I'd like to read it out, so that we'll know that Esau, Edom is a spirit. Theologians are still not clear. Some people say the Edomites have been wiped out. Some people say the Edomites are still somewhere. It's not clear where they are. So you realize that if the Edomites were actually, if Esau was circumcised, then you will know that what God was talking to us about in Obadiah is not just a physical thing. Hallelujah. It's not just a physical, or if it is physical, just like we have Israel, we have natural Israel, and we have the church that Paul calls, he says we are the Israel of God. Are we together? So whatever we are, whatever Edom is beyond the physical. I don't know if they are still going to be God. I don't know if they exist. Some said they still exist. Some said they've been wiped out. Nobody is cleared about that. Just like the 10 tribes that are lost. Some people say that they are in Europe. Some say, you know, all kinds of theories are going on about them. But let us hear this about the spirit of Esau, because Edom is a spirit. Before you begin to see them as something that is just on the pages of our Bible. Hallelujah. It is a spirit. So let me read. Alright. Esau was different. He had little time for, you know, Jacob was a man of the house. So when the Bible talked about Nimrod being an hunter in the face of the Lord, you would think the Bible was just talking about Nimrod just being a hunter. Many things are inside that one statement. Are we together? It was this morning, Daddy was discussing with us, and we're talking about the Tower of Babel. That tower, we think it's a house. But I don't think God will come down. I don't think God will go and check what those men are doing, because there are very few times when God has come to check what men are doing. So when you say God wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, it's worth it. Because God said, I want to go down, go and see. Is God not omniscient? Hallelujah. I pray your case does not come to that. When they report you, and God will say, gentle, Lord, won't cut us up, will she? Your case is bad. How do you want to understand that? That God in heaven does it. Are you saying that what they are doing is hidden from the eyes of God? God said, I want to go and confirm. And God had to come in the likeness of man, branched. And anytime God does that, there's problem. The last time he did that, Satan was in trouble. He came as a man. Alright? And when he came, it was sure. Judgment was sure. I don't know if Father Abraham's intercession would have gone anywhere, because God had left his throne. He had come down. He came to see. So in the case of the Tower of Babel too, God looked down and said, these people, what are they up to? And then you think it's a house. I don't know why God would be bothered about a group of primitive, so to say. I don't know if their technology, the technology they had, can withstand the technology that builds all the Dubai skyscrapers. So some stupid people say, one fair call war. It's not a physical house. There was a wisdom God saw. God said, if this thing can continue, there will be trouble. So when they said that Esau was also a man of the field, a lot is coded inside it. So Esau was different. He had little time for order. He was a hunter, a roving man of the open fields. He took down what he wanted with the bow. He had no time for nurturing anything. So I'm reading this so that you find yourself. He had no time for nurturing anything, whether it be the family, husbandry or animals, or planting crops for harvest. He was not one to waste time at home caring for the flocks and tending crops and gardens. Esau had little patience for such domestic matters. These were just onerous chores to him. To him, these occupations were mundane and boring. He would rather be out hunting. Esau was Isaac's firstborn and his Israel's son. He was a hunter and a free-spirited man of the field. He was a wild man. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a mess of pottage. In this act of spiritual neglect, it showed that he had very little interest in his spiritual inheritance. He was an earthy man and a phallic sort of man. Esau was a hustler. Is there any hustler here? Esau was a hustler, an exploiter of others and what others had, rather than a nurturer of plants and animals. He was motivated to go out and get things, rather than to establish things and watch them grow. He preferred to take down what he wanted in the wild. A life of cultivating plants and tending to the flocks was not for him. He sneered at culture. He rejoiced in being uncultured. Being wild at heart and a hustler was a badge of honor to him. We can certainly see that same rebellious and bullying spirit rising in our Western culture today. It is now becoming a matter of great concern in our schools. You say 4,000 years have passed by, and so we now come to the big question. Where are the Edomites today? We know that they are out there. We know they are in existence today in our time. And how do we know this? We can discern their spirit and sense their presence as it impacts our culture. And all that. I just want us to pray this evening. Whatever stands as Esau to you, whatever it is that you can accommodate but yet should not be with you, that God will cause a separation. Hallelujah. Their faith is sealed. Every time, everywhere in scripture, they've never escaped the judgment of God. I know what's in Psalm 137, as they were blessing Jerusalem. Can we see that scripture? As Jerusalem was being blessed, they didn't mention Egypt to anybody. I don't know And you know those hymns were, they were crafted by the Spirit. Yeah, by the rivers of Babylon. People accord this to Jeremiah actually. You know, not all the Psalms were written by David. Some were by Asaph, the sons of Korah, even Jeremiah. So this particular one is ascribed to Jeremiah. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion, verse 2. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us some of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. And what's the next thing? Excuse me, why did Edom come into this equation? So you should remember the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem. Who said what? Raise it. Even to the foundation thereof. So when you read Obadiah, it was there that one of their crimes was that when the enemy was plundering Jerusalem, they were giving support. They were not actually involved, but they gave support. And for every Israelite that tried to escape, Bible says they stood at the crossroad and they were killing them. So you now understand what it meant when he said that there will be deliverance in Zion. Say, those that escape, there will be deliverance in Zion. I want us to pray this evening that things that God should sever from us, they are very close to us. They are our relatives. I don't know how best to paint it anymore. How do you fight them? Even God said, don't fight them. They are your brothers. How do you explain that? And it's as if God did not even leave their judgment in the hand of Israel. These are things that God has to help you fight. It's not, they are not things you can cast and bind. You can't cast and bind them. I don't know how to explain it. But they are not bind and cast things. They are things that even you need God's help to deal with them. Because if that is not done, none of us will rise. Can we ask God for help this evening? Can we rise to our feet for the remaining 10 minutes or so? Can we rise this evening? You may not be able to point to them, but they are there. They are there. Some of these things are in our family lines. Yes, some of these things are in our family lines. It's just there. You see a father behave somehow. You see a father's life go somehow. And then the son's life is going the same. He's born again, he's tongue speaking and all that. But the guy is not even paying attention. I don't know. You're not paying attention. Hallelujah. Hello. Before we pray, there are some of us that are so careless, we don't even pay attention to how our lives are going. There are trends. Maybe for me, I just discovered that my handwriting looked like my father's handwriting. I never learnt it. I didn't see anywhere to learn my father. I just saw that the way my father used to write, I began to write that way. There are things like that. That is still in the physical, everything we can see. What are things we can't even see? And they are there. And the thing is that these things, like the Edomites, they are waiting for a particular day to show. They will not show that they are your enemies. Fine. But they waited on that day. I know the story that made those people not allow Israel to pass was the city of the Betrayed. Because somehow I want to believe that story must have passed down to generations. That it was these people, their ancestors, told your fathers. And that's why when you see a man, his forefather stole somebody's bicycle. And because of that, the man can't eat rice. How do you explain that? Sit down there and say it doesn't exist. But the people who have experienced it know that such things. I'm not exalting them. I'm only telling you that they exist. I had a problem as a little boy. I couldn't tell my father. I couldn't tell my father. Why would I tell him? Do we even relate on that level? Even my mother that took me to church, I couldn't tell her. And the minister came to church, and I felt I could find solace. I went to see the minister in his hotel room and explained what I was going through. By the time I got back, my mother asked, "What did you go to discuss with the man of God?" I couldn't hide anymore. I told her. My mother said she also faced the same thing, unknowing to me and her. And let me tell you, these things are not just after your job. They are not just after your family. They are after your soul. That's what they are after. Of course, we are different from other people who say, just let these things break so that you can enjoy your life. It's not about enjoying your life. There's something the devil is after. It is your soul. Because when they touch your child, they can reach your soul. As a matter of fact, Satan told God, he said, "God, you are the one protecting this guy. Remove your hand from me, they can call you." He said, "A man will give whatever he has to save his life." If they can say that about Job, and Job escaped it, what are they saying about you? If Job survived it, do you know how many people did not survive it? It was only one, they told us. Do you know how many people Satan has gone to God and said, "God, remove your hand from this man. Let me just strike him, only once." And God said, "Okay, let us see." And the guy did it and he actually succeeded. Can you pray anything that stands like that? Pastor mentioned anything that is worth accommodating, but it is subtle. I am accommodating it at this point, but I shouldn't be accommodating. Lord, you will favor us. Jesus said, "Those that be of a man's household are going to be his enemies." Those ones are very difficult to tackle. You are very familiar. Lord, if anyone this evening will break the hold of familiar spirits, will break the hold of familiar spirits. Spirits whose plans for men are to hinder them in the purposes of God for their lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. The Bible says even Satan sometimes presents himself as an angel of light. How do you decipher that one? How do you decode that one? And why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? It's one of his top operations. Like Pastor has said, All those funny drawings you see in covens and all that, that's not devil. When devil wants to really reveal himself, it will be difficult for you to differentiate between devil and Jesus. There are many people that fake Jesus have appeared to. How do you handle that? And why is he doing that? He wants you to see him like one of you. As in, he wants you to feel that we are the same thing. Battles fall on that. On that ground, I don't know. You need God to win those battles. When your enemy appears like your enemy, you know, you can easily. But when your enemy comes and appears like a friend, there's a problem. There's a problem. I want us to pray against devices of Satan. Devices of Satan that look like light, but actually darkness. Devices that have been channeled and marshaled against you and against me. Jesus said, if this thing you claim is light is actually darkness, then that darkness is terrible. You know, there are darkness and there are lights that are actually darkness. He said, those lights that look like darkness, those darknesses are terrible. Jesus said, how deep that darkness is. how terrible that darkness is. Devices of Satan that look like light, but is actually darkness, that have been channeled against me. One of it is the one that Pastor mentioned yesterday about our reception of the world. It looks like righteousness, but it's not righteousness. You sit in a position to judge everything. Satan puts you on a seat where you can even judge people who got you born again. You sit down and look at them, and then you say, what are you calling Jericho or Deborah or Johnny? Those things are veils that Satan casts over us. And it's not for our purpose. But we will not see God clearly. Let's have that some veils will be taken away. Such casts will be removed. Such casts will be removed. Such casts will be removed. Such casts are going to be removed. In the name of Jesus, such casts are going to be removed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You know that for Jesus to be able to save us, he had to come become like one of us. Pastor said yesterday that he dwelt among us. He says, in as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also had to do what? Partake in the same. Don't you think that that technology also has an antitype when the devil is also involved? Hallelujah. If it took the Lord becoming like man, like you and me, to save us, what do you think Satan can do with that? And of course, if there's an original, it means that there's a fake somewhere. And some of the things we are battling and fighting are things that would be, you know, one of the difficult times to fight is to fight battles. I watch epic movies and I see that one of the most difficult times to fight people is in the night, because you don't see what is coming against you. You can't see. So there are hidden battles, there are, you know, when the enemy fights you and hides his face, that's very difficult to deal with. It's difficult to deal with. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone suffering under such masquerading things, anyone that the devil is hiding and fighting, anyone here that the devil is covering up himself, let us pray and say, God, you expose secrets. Yeah, I think I guess it. That you will expose secrets. You expose secrets. You won't understand that until the Lord shows you secrets. You expose secrets. Secrets of darkness. Darkness can't survive light. That God will expose secrets. Secrets will be exposed. It will be exposed. That thing you are suffering under, God will bring it out for you and show you. And say, this is it. And then you say, oh, it is you. Open your secrets. Expose the enemy. Lord, expose the enemy. Expose the enemy. Open my eyes to sin. Expose the enemy. Save us from rebellious children. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.